This is Sports 180. We have 30 minutes remaining, and then Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock. Heather Harrington is here. I'm Josh Ward, and we go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline to welcome Braden Gall from 440 Sports, also the Athlon Sports Cover 2 podcast. Braden, we appreciate the time as always. You're there in Nashville. What is the anticipation level like for the NFL schedule release with the opening week against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals?
I could not be more excited. I mean, you can have the Stanley Cup playoffs, you can have the Super Bowl, but just give me schedule release parties all day. Like that is what gets me going, guys. Hot and bothered, taking the pants off tonight, putting the kids to bed early. Can't wait, you know? It's one of those things that just reminds you that the NFL is like, okay, I'll answer your question honestly. Yes, it will be exciting to watch Kyler Murray in Nissan Stadium. Cool. Now, schedule release parties is just an example of how the NFL has all of us by the short and curlies right now. Like, that's just how they are. They've created this. Like, it's not an accident that the Aaron Rodgers story came out on the Thursday morning of the first round of the NFL draft. It's just like they know how to keep us mainlined in to NFL drama. Like, that's what they do. And the fact that we know every single opponent for every single team and home and road locations, and yet we still are obsessed with the release party tonight is just, it's all you need to know about this country and how obsessed we are with the NFL.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that any time news comes out, it just dominates for the whole cycle because the NFL is the sports engine that turns everything.
Yeah, and what's funny, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this for most of your lives, being where you are and covering the teams that you cover. Like, I've been a college football guy most of my life. Now, I grew up loving the NFL just like everybody else. I watched, you know, NFL Super Bowl since the 80s when I was, you know, 6 years old. And I've covered the Titans now since working in Nashville, but and a lot for Athlon to some degree over the years. But, like, I just am amazed still as someone who's sort of lived his entire life in the college football world. And I think it's the best sport on the planet. I'm obsessed with college football. I would trade Saturdays. You know, I would trade Sundays for Saturdays every day of the week. And so I just am amazed still how much bigger, just how much bigger the NFL truly is to college football. And I don't know if some of that's the fact that college football is sort of starting to see some issues creep in, like just attendance going down and interest ratings in the sport at the national championship level have come down. I don't know what that is. There's a lot of reasons why that could be the case, but even when it's at its highest, when, you know, hey, this is the most watched national championship game, period, even if it's Georgia, Alabama, it's still not even close to like a wild card playoff game. Like, it's just not even close. And so I am always amazed by that. I have no clue what people in Philadelphia and Chicago and Pittsburgh and New York and Boston, I don't know what they do on Saturdays. Like, I don't know what the media does on Saturdays. I don't know why they don't watch college football, but I'm always amazed at the gap between pro football and college football from an interest standpoint.
Braden Gall is with us, 440 Sports. What is your interest level in the name, image, likeness conversation? And Tennessee has joined that conversation with Governor Bill Lee signing that bill for January 1st.
Yeah, look, man, if voting helped make our college football teams better, we'd have the best voting laws in the world. But we will do anything in our power. Genuinely helping people. Like, this is what that, like, name, image, and likeness genuinely helps young people get paid their market value in a very capitalistic sport. That's all that's doing. That's just doing the right thing to help people. But you know why it's happening in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Louisiana, Mississippi, and not anywhere else? Because we like our college football more, and we care more about winning. And so, man, I wish voter turnout was tied directly to Tennessee's wins. Like, that would be great. Like, we could then just stop arguing about all this other crap and just, oh, everyone gets to win national championships and everyone gets to vote. So I digress a little bit. I think it's obviously smart for the SEC to do this. It's a short-term fix because you're not going to be able to exist long-term with 50 different states and 50 different rules. There's going to have to be a singular set of regulations that manages all this stuff. But of course the SEC did it fastest. Of course they did, because right now if you're Tennessee and you're Josh Heupel, you can go to a recruit's house and say, look, in Ohio or in, you know, Texas, or I guess Texas is going to jump on the bandwagon pretty quickly, but you go to a recruit's house in Virginia and say, look, come to Tennessee, we'll market you to XYZ restaurant or XYZ car dealership, and you'll make a couple thousand dollars on the side because you came to Tennessee. And that's an advantage right now. So why not do it? Of course we got that done. Like when it comes to making our college football teams better, our legislation will move very, very quickly.
Braden, staying in the SEC, Cole Kublik pointed out that Alabama now owns a win streak against every single SEC opponent, some longer than others, as Tennessee fans know. Josh asked a really good question earlier, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Is Alabama good for college football or bad for college football under Nick Saban?
First of all, Josh, did what? No, kidding. Listen, I think for a long time, and this is the old UConn women's argument, Lady Vols argument too, right? Like, I think when a sport is growing and sort of emerging the way women's basketball was, I think a dominant force like UConn or Tennessee at the time was good for the sport because it needed sort of overall growth across the country, right? Like what Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma have done for women's basketball is they've sort of forced everyone else to catch up. And so the rest of the country had to say, all right, well, we got to invest more resources. We need to do a better job of scouting. We need to pay our coaches better, like all this stuff, right? The same thing Urban Meyer did to the Big Ten when he went to the Big Ten, and they had all these gentlemen agreements about recruiting. And, you know, we SEC folk are like, what? Gentlemen agreement about recruiting? What planet are you on? And the rest of the Big Ten had to sort of, like, come with Ohio State into the future, right? And so I think that's really – I think it's good for the sport in general when it's growing. The problem with college football is that we've sort of reached – a saturation point where what's happening is large chunks of the country are not interested in the product for long enough. And that is a problem for the sport writ large. And so, like, this is why I've always been anti-expansion, but now I've sort of changed my mind. I'm sort of changing my opinion on expansion, because what we need now is we need to trick people into thinking they've got a chance to win the national title. And you're still not going to beat Alabama or whoever Alabama is at that time, right? It was USC and Florida in the mid-2000s. You know, it's been Ohio State for forever. You know, like, rotate whatever team is the team of the decade, right? And if an entire conference, if the Big 12 and the Pac-12, like everything west of the Mississippi, stops paying attention at the middle of October, that's bad for the sport. That's not good for the sport. So there needs to be something like Omaha, right, where getting to Omaha is almost as celebrated for a lot of teams as it is winning the whole thing. Sure, there's the top echelon of teams that expect to win the whole thing, right? A lot of them are in the SEC, frankly, in baseball too. And so I understand that. But when you see, you know, an Indiana – make it to the College World Series in Omaha, that's like a banner that they hang at their facility. And I think that's what college football needs, is it needs, you know, the chance for, like, Kentucky to go 10-2 and slip into the playoff as, like, a 7 seed or a 10 seed or something like that. That's good for the sport. Like, that's like, we need Iowa and we need Wisconsin and we need Virginia Tech and we need these types of programs to feel more included in the process. And that will drive up ratings. That will make, everyone says it's going to make the regular season less valuable. I think it actually makes it more valuable because you're competing for division championships, automatic bids. You're competing for, like, let's say there's a 12-team playoff, which is my new idea. Like, not my idea, but that's my new line of thinking, which is, think about a 12-team playoff. The first 4 seeds get bye, so there's something to play for there. The next 4 seeds get home games, so there's something to play for there. And the next 4 seeds, you're fighting to get in, so there's something to play for there. So what you're doing is you're making, like, South Carolina versus Kentucky in 2012, like, mean something. So I think the way to do it, long story short here, as usual, as I tend to do, I used to think the Alabamas of the world were great for the sport because it elevated everybody else around them. Now I think it's bad for the sport because it's just gone on too long, and we need to feel like there's some equity. It doesn't mean that Cincinnati's going to actually have a chance to win the national title. But if they have a chance to get into the playoff, that's something that their fan base can celebrate, and all the programs like it. And hopefully that spreads the talent out across the country a little bit more, because more coaches can sell that to recruits. And that's what we need right now, is people not going to the same four schools. We need players spread out around the country.
Hey, Braden, final item, 440 Sports, where you can find all the audio coverage Braden and company have. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, Tennessee baseball at home against number one Arkansas. We talked a few weeks ago about Tennessee Vanderbilt. Now we're closer to the postseason. How interested are you in what happens in Knoxville in college baseball this weekend?
Oh, man. Well, like as an alumni, I can't wait, right? Sellouts and full stadium, and like the place is going to be rocking. And let's be honest, like there's probably a national seed on the line. Like, if you take two out of three from Arkansas, you've probably solidified yourself as a top eight seed, right? And that guarantees you potential host in the Supers should everything go according to plan. So I think it's a huge series. Obviously, you know, Vanderbilt's got Ole Miss this weekend. You got South Carolina next weekend. There's still a lot of games left. The tournament's a big factor too. But the margins now, which is a really great place to be for Tennessee baseball, the margins are not like like they used to be. Are we going to get to Hoover? Like, the margins now are, can we host a super regional, which is just an amazing story about where the program has come. It took obviously 15 years, but here we are. And it's a ton of fun. This week's series can't be, I mean, come on, man. Like, number one, the guy's got a relationship with the school he's playing as the head coach. Like, you couldn't ask for more than this weekend. Oh, by the way, if you can take two out of three, you probably automatically give yourself a super regional host, top eight national seed. So, ton of fun, man. It's going to be a blast.
I agree. We're very excited to talk about it here over the next few days in Knoxville. What is the talk right now at 440 Sports? What can people check out?
Well, if this interview wasn't enough of me talking, you can listen to all of the great pods from 440 Sports. Gold Standard Podcast, we previewed the Carolina Hurricanes series with the Nashville Predators, myself and Adam Bingen. So check that out. That came out today. Really interesting discussion from an associate athletic director of compliance. It came on the show for our SEC podcast out tomorrow. Fringe Element, find that everywhere podcasts are found. So if you want to really learn about how an athletic department is viewing all the name, image, and likeness stuff, I think it's a really good listen. That'll be out tomorrow. Hal Gill, the great Hal Gill, went on Fridays on Lame Stream, so check that out. So we got everything you need. Tennessee and Nashville related. Check out all the different shows. 440sports.com. Check out the website everywhere podcasts are found. Rate, review, subscribe, smash the share, tell your mom, all that stuff.
I think you'll like it. Braden, kick your feet up. Enjoy the schedule release tonight. All eyes will be on it.
Hey, put those kids to bed early. Yeah. Hey, and if you have any tips on that, you know, Josh and I are always paying attention. So if you ever want to shoot us a little text.
About how to put kids to bed? Are you kidding?
No, how to put them to bed early.
Is that what you're asking about?
Early, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, mine don't go to bed
early.
Dude,
I don't want to talk about my daughter, my 4.5-year-old, she's got some storm anxiety. We haven't slept in a month, guys. So if you guys have any tips, please tell me what to do, because our youngest goes to bed no problem. But the oldest, it is an all-out battle. It's clean old-fashioned hate is what it is. It's Georgia, Georgia Tech every single night.
Ooh. Well, good luck, because knock on wood, my kids are doing great with it. So best of luck, Braden, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate that, Josh. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Braden.
That, really
Heather, that's one thing you never
sleepers.
Say to parents if your kids are doing great sleeping is, yeah, they're great sleepers, because others may not be, and that can be a sore subject quickly.
Also, I learned to never brag about when your kids sleep really well, because that's the night that they won't. As soon as brag on them, that's when they'll be like, bing, waking up at 4, and you're like, hey, what are we doing here? Let's go back to bed.
Yep. So forget what I just said. We'll come back for the final segment with the Power Poll and then Sports Talk at 3 o'clock here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.